Fuck. Stairways back. This is Mr. Just Right. With me as always, my partner in crime, Bad News B-Rai. B-Rai, how you doing tonight?
Not doing so great after that kind of performance on Sunday, but, you know, we just got to keep going. It's early in the season. Talk through things and get a scope on, you know, if this is the team that we're going to get every week, or is there any hope?
Yeah, we'll get into it. Have a little therapy session here tonight. You know, we talked about this last week, B-Rai. Is this, you know, your classic play down to your opponent? You're coming in 2-1, a chance to go into the Ravens game at 3-1, perhaps for sole possession of the AFC North. And lo and behold, B-Rai, a letdown. And let's cut right to the chase, shall we? I don't think there's too much positive to glean from this game other than maybe Najee found a little stretch in his jeans, maybe. Looked a little bit better, I would say. But, B-Rai, what do you think? This loss just kind of feels worse than a normal loss. What do you think? I mean, is it time to overreact? Is it time to hit the panic button? We have a lot to break down, but man, this feels worse than a normal loss. Am I right about that? What do you think?
It really does. It was just overall a disgusting display by the Steeler coaches, the players against a lesser opponent. We're playing against backups. We're playing against, a rookie that looks great, but still, like, you have the second highest paid defense in the league. You should be able to do something there. Offense, just the same old bullshit. Not getting first downs, not putting up points. It doesn't look good. You know, traditionally, I would say Tomlin starts the seasons pretty slow. So is there a chance that they could get better and, you know, you get some injured guys back and you kind of make a run late in the year, unleash hell in December? Is it possible? Yes. I've seen these things happen with Tomlin before, but there's really no signs of it happening, so you can't really expect that until you see those signs.
Yeah, yeah. Len and I were talking last night. I took the Ravens in this matchup tomorrow, and he came back with a retort that said, this is a classic Steelers fans overreact, the sky's falling, and they pull out, you know, a 10-6 win or something like that at home to really right the ship. But B-Rai, there's a lot of red flags up and down the lineup and on the sideline and the coaching and obviously in the press box where Matt Canada still resides to this day. Let's look at the box score in this one, shall we, B-Rai? And let's see if we can find anything positive. You touched on it. I mean, the coaching decisions, the performances across the board, the injuries, you name it. It seems like it went wrong against the Texans. Rookie coach, too, by the way. All right. Kenny Pickett had a nice little completion percentage, B-Rai, 15 for 23. Not bad. 114 yards, one interception to Steven Nelson on the deep bomb. And that just kind of set the tone for the day. They were going, I think it was to Calvin Austin he was targeting on that deep ball, trying to reproduce that from the previous game there. And Steven Nelson, former Steeler, he said it after the game, B-Rai, that they just are too predictable. And sure enough, he came down with a nice little interception. Good credit to him. He made a nice play on the ball there, but that just set the tone for the day. When that happens after the Texans marched down the field, got backed up again at the goal line and still managed to score. It was just that kind of day. 59 quarterback rating for Kenny Pickett on the day. Excuse me, I believe 18.8. I'm not sure which QBR, 18.8. Is that even a real thing? I don't know. I'm looking at the box score here. Sacked three times as well, including one that he got injured on 4th-and-1. We'll probably talk a little bit more about that. Anything to say here? Oh, of course, Mitch Trubisky came in 3 for 5 for 18 yards as well. Anything to add here for the quarterbacks and Kenny Pickett in particular, B-Rai?
With the quarterbacks, Not much, just another case of Kenny kind of not feeling comfortable in the pocket. He's literally scrambling into pass rushers. On that play where he got injured, he scrambled right into a guy coming out wide when he wasn't staying in the pocket and looking to step up and make a play downfield. So he's really just not looking good in there.
Yeah, that's the number one thing I feel like too, B-Riz. He's got happy feet. He's not comfortable back there. He's bailing out way too quick. And that's been a theme really all season, you know, whether it's because of the line making him insecure back there, vice versa. He's just not creating anything really on his own either. And in the last game, like I said, he had that nice scramble, got called back in a holding. That was, you know, what we want to see more of that from him. We didn't. There was a couple times during this game as well. I was yelling at the screen for him just to take off, and he didn't. So he's coming out of this game with an injury, some type of, I believe it was an MCL. B-Rai, we'll get into that in the injury report, but it sounds like he's trying to play against the Ravens this Sunday. So we shall see. Hobbled Kenny Pickett does not inspire much confidence at this point, especially behind that line, which still looks honestly not very good, but there are some changes coming. We'll talk about that later too. All right, on to the rushing line. Najee kind of broke out of a little funk, averaged 5.1 a carry, 14 for 71 with a long of 23. He added a nice little catch, bailed out Kenny there, rumbled down the field. I think it was for 30 yards too, so he topped 100 yards from scrimmage on the day. Jalen followed up 8 for 29 with a long of 18 as well. Kenny scrambled twice for 9 yards, and Calvin Austin had a run for 5 yards. Anything you want to add there on the running game?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, there's not really much to work with here. Like I said last week, Najee, I feel like he, you know, has to throw two guys off in the backfield to get, you know, get a yard. I still don't think the O-line is really cohesive right now. They're not opening many big holes. But despite that, he's running really hard. I think he hears the critics. I think he hears all the talk about Warren playing ahead of him. And he's running hard. He actually, for the year, has best yards per carry in his career. As we know, in the last couple of years, it's been under 4 per carry. They usually give him a ton of volume. But this year, with a little less volume, his carry average is at 4.29. So things are looking better there. And if the offensive line can get something going here, maybe we do see the Najee that we were hoping for when we drafted him in the first round.
Yeah, I'd like to see him with a little bit more head of steam, like you said, before he gets touched in the backfield. He's having to make a lot happen on his own, but some positive signs there from Najee. So we'll see what happens. We're definitely going to need him in the next game, that's for sure. All right, on to the receiving. This was not pretty at all. Spread the ball out quite a bit. Najee, like we mentioned, led the team in receiving on that one play for 32 yards, which honestly, I thought he was down. He spun out of it, got some extra yards out of that for the biggest play of the day for the Steelers when they were already down behind the eight ball. So one catch, 32 yards on 2 targets for Najee. Jalen had 6 catches for 26 yards on 6 targets. He caught all of them for a long of 7. Would like to see him break a few more of those. He came close to losing a fumble. I think it was called a fumble too, and then called back. Pickens, not happy. He went 3 for 25 on 7 targets with a long of 17. Calvin Austin, quiet day, 3 catches, 24 yards on 5 targets, a long of 12. Of course, one of those missed targets was the interception by Steven Nelson. They were going for the home run again. Darnell Washington picked up his first catch of his career, I believe. 1 catch, 10 yards. We might need more of him, B-Rai. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Allen Robinson, 1 catch, 8 yards on 2 targets. Freiermuth, of course, went down with the injury as well. 3 catches, 7 yards on 4 targets. Anything you want to add about the pass catchers?
Yeah, it's just disappointing. You look at these numbers. You have, you know, your top wideouts here, some young, talented guys. 3 catches. Freiermuth, 3 catches. 1 catch to the supporting cast. It's just, it kind of shows how much volume there is. We aren't able to sustain drives. Therefore, we're not getting the ball to our playmakers enough. And really, like, you know, 8 yard average, 8.3. So we're not going downfield. Even when we do, we're throwing jump balls to Calvin Austin, who's not really that kind of a player. And then, you know, I don't want to pile on Freiermuth. I know he's been banged up this year, took that huge rib shot in the first game. He has the hamstring that happened this game, but his run blocking has just been terrible, just getting thrown around. So it could be the injury. I don't want to pile on, but you have to wonder here. I think some of it is, you know, maybe they're not getting any separation. Maybe this, we're sorely missing Deontay Johnson right now, a guy who can get open at all times. But how much of it is the play design? How much is it is, you know, not throwing to the center of the field? I think it's a group effort here of why they look so bad and why, you know, Pickens and Austin are only getting three catches a game for 25 yards.
Yeah. And again, we're playing behind the sticks. Again, we're getting ourselves in these third downs. We just can't seem to get the first. Have we had a game yet this year, B-Rai, where we got a first down on the opening drive? I'm not sure we have.
And that's I do not think so.
That just sets the tone for the rest of the game, really. I'd love to see us break that streak against the Ravens, but we'll see. Moving on to the defensive side of the ball, Minka Fitzpatrick paced the squad. 11 total tackles, 7 solo. Again, you don't like to see the safety leading your team in tackles. That's usually not a great sign for the yardage and the plays that you're giving up. Minka, overall, though, yeah, he's making some tackles, but we've yet to really see, you know, splash contributions from him yet on the year. I'd like to see more of that from him. Landon Roberts had 10 tackles, 5 solo. He had 1 tackles for loss and 2 QB hits, but man, it seemed like they picked on him. B-Rai, don't you agree? It seems like they kind of targeted a Landon Roberts in this one.
In the passing game, he's not real. That's not a strong suit. So, you know, this is where the coaches, they get their players in the right position. He's a liability in the passing game. So definitely looked a little lost out there.
Cole Holcomb had 7 tackles, 4 solo. We didn't see the splash plays on tape that we saw from him the last couple weeks. Patrick Peterson, 5 tackles, 3 solo, 1 pass defense. We were talking last week, Pro Football Focus had him as a top 10 corner of the league, perhaps a lockdown corner. B-Rai, it seems like it's good or terrible for him. He's either getting picked on, he's getting scored on, giving up a big play, or he's making a pass defense. We need more consistency from him. Same for this other guy, Levi Wallace. Wearing jeans in the secondary. Fitting name right there for Levi. 4 tackles, 4 solo for him. He had 2 passes defense as well, but again, picked on quite a bit in this one. B-Rai, what do you think about Pat Pete and Levi? We need more from these guys, don't we?
Just absolutely disappointing. And, you know, you see Cam Sutton, who a younger player, let go. I know he got a good contract, but I wanted him brought back. We were able to sign Pat Pete to a lesser deal. He had a good year last year, but really, I mean, he's 33 years old. I don't think we planned on having him play on the outside as much. I think at this point we expected Joey Porter to play on the outside, maybe have Pat Pete play on the inside a little bit more. You know, I still think he's a talented player, but he has limitations at this point in his career. He's not a guy who can keep up with fast guys, especially in the fourth quarter. So you saw that one play where I think it was Nico Collins who just, you know, got the catch, made a quick move, got by him, ran right past him. So it doesn't look good there. We need to get the young guys in. We need Joey Porter in. And Levi Wallace, I mean, I don't know what to say here. Every game he's let up big plays, gets picked on. He at least had some redeeming interceptions in previous weeks. This week, nothing like that. He let up huge catches to Nico Collins. Even Robert Woods was catching balls against him. He's a little bit older. Missed tackles. Every game, there's an ugly missed tackle from him. This one, there was one against Singletary who was, he came behind the line of scrimmage, had a great opportunity to take him down and just didn't do it. And really, you got to question their scheme at this point, too. They're playing a lot of zone scheme. The coverage is slow to respond. So, you know, it's a lot of like guys catching in front of us and we get the tackle or we don't bring them down in time. So it's been ugly.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. You got to question the scheme at this point. You know, I think the Texans are better than they get credit for, but these other teams we're playing just make it look way too easy sometimes to move that ball down the field and get first downs compared to how difficult it looks for us. Larry O, Montrevious Adams, Keanu Neal, and Keanu Benton all had four tackles and two solo each. Neal and Quan Alexander had four total and one solo. Keanu Neal and Quan both had a tackle for a loss. KZ had three total, three solo. Highsmith, three total, one solo. Leal, two total, both solo. Leal also had a pass defense. He's still showing up, B-Rye. He seems to make a contribution at least once a game. I'm still liking what I'm seeing from Leal. I want to see more of it, though. TJ Watt, big quiet game for him. He admitted he did not play that well. He only had one quarterback hit. He had two tackles, one being solo. It seemed like they were really neutralizing his pressure, kind of scrambling to his side of the ball some to get away from that instant pressure. They were banged up on the line as well. B-Rai, were you expecting more from TJ in this one?
Yeah, with the edge rushers, TJ and Highsmith, I can't necessarily put blame on them. I felt like they got to the quarterback quickly. They tried to do their job. I think they got pressure, but you gotta give Stroud some credit here. He got rid of the ball quick. You got to give the offensive coordinator, who, by the way, is a rookie coordinator, got to give him some credit. They had a masterful plan to neutralize this pass rush. They did a lot of timely screen plays. So, you know, we get upfield to go after the quarterback. Yes. And then next thing you know, you got a perfect screenplay.
Yep.
You got rollouts away from Watt. It was just, you know, really frustrating. They found the perfect game plan to neutralize those pass rushers.
Oh, they did, B-Rai. But isn't that a concern when you have a rookie play caller coming there against the guy who's been coaching for umpteen years? I mean, shouldn't you have seen it all by this point and be better prepared? I think we'll talk a little bit more about that after we get through the box score here. Shando Sullivan had two tackles, assisted on both. Allen Robinson had a tackle. I don't know where did he show up in the box score with a tackle? Miles Killebrew had one. Loudermilk had one. Nick Herbig added one. And Elijah Riley and Joey Porter Jr. both added one assist. What do you think about Porter, B-Rye? He needs to play more,
right?
Needs
to play more. Every time he shows up, it's tight coverage. So you don't really know if he's going to make rookie mistakes or not. Maybe the coaches know something we don't. But, I mean, I'm just not going to give them the benefit of a doubt on this. He looks good. He actually played less snaps this week. Played 10 snaps. The previous week, he played 17. So it's time to take the training wheels off. He needs to get some more playing time. The other guys, you know, mainly Levi Wallace, he's not cutting it. You have to get the young guy in there.
Now, Tomlin came out and said part of his reasoning is, you know, they're trying to put him in situations that are guaranteed passing downs so he can just focus on the pass. But, man, I don't know about that. I mean, I think you got to see what you got in the guy. You're really not getting anything from your other corners that's worthwhile. Put him out there. Trial by fire. At this point, it's kind of disconcerting when you see JPJ wasn't technically a first-round pick, but another first-round pick in Witherspoon from Seattle getting a couple sacks and a big pick six. I mean, those are the kind of contributions we need from these. It's a young man's game, right?
Yeah.
And I want to see more Porter for sure. And I think maybe after Tomlin's comments this week regarding change, maybe we will see more of him. So on that note, B-Rai, after the game, the question was asked, do you guys have to change anything? And Tomlin responded, hell yeah, we have to change some things, man. So, of course, that kind of perked all our ears up. What does he mean by this change? Turns out, changes in the depth chart, B-Rye. And some of them, honestly, are not even worth mentioning. Like Gunner down the depth chart. He's been injured, though, so I don't know how much that's going to make. What were the other changes on the depth chart, B-Rye? Benton, I think, might have got elevated, right?
I mean, yeah. He was listed along with Leal on the depth chart. So, I like that. He should be playing more, but those aren't major changes. this is nothing that's going to really, you know, right the ship. He's really just a bunch of lip service trying to keep the media at bay. He made some excuses about, you know, the reason they lost is because of physicality and they did not practice in pads due to the short week and the, you know, the plane getting delayed. So really not accepting any blame as a coach, just kind of pointing fingers and saying they didn't play hard enough.
Yeah, and of course, I don't think we expect, you know, the big change we all want, at least the offensive coordinator getting the pink slip, especially with the bye week coming up. If anything happens, it would be during that week where they have some more time to prepare. Another excuse he made, B-Rye, was on that 4th-and-1 call, inexplicably from the shotgun with no play action, mind you, ends up in our quarterback getting hurt. The excuse there for not running the ball after they were finally getting the running game going at that point when you're already down 2 scores, by the way. His excuse there was because Freiermuth and Dan Moore were injured. So like you alluded to earlier in the show, Freiermuth is not some world-beating run blocker. You have Broderick Jones, a first-round pick you can put out there. To me, that is just a cop-out of an excuse for why. I mean, he's got to be protecting Matt Canada at this point, any and all criticism. What do you think of that 4th-and-1 play call, B-Rye? And, man, what a disaster, right? I mean, is this an excuse or what?
It's an excuse. So you almost saw it coming. They call a timeout. Like, why do you need a timeout?
Oh, right. Oh, the spot.
Well, need a yard.
Well, no, the spot of the ball was his initial excuse. They didn't know where the ball was going to be spotted. Well, then they needed a timeout because of the injuries. I mean, it's just excuse after excuse at this point. And for a guy like Tomlin, who deals in absolutes all the time, and he's, you know, he's a silver-tongued guy, but man, the excuses here and the lack of accountability are concerning. But anyways, B-Rye, back to that 4th-down play. What happened there?
So they come back from the timeout, and as you could guess, they line up in shotgun. You know, this is after Najee's, you know, he's having, you know, arguably the best season of his career.
Rip those jeans right off.
Yards per carry. He's, you know, he's getting going. They line up in shotgun, and they decide to pass for 1 yard on 4th-down. And literally, this was the game-changing play. Like, it didn't look good, but they were fighting back. They had a chance to maybe make it interesting, and just one of the worst play calls you'll ever see. And Kenny gets happy feet, and he rolls out right into the pass rusher, gets sacked, gets his knee twisted. Thank God he's not out for a year. It could have been way worse. You know, initial fears were it doesn't look good. He's holding his knee. It's just frustrating. It's expected every week that plays like this happen, and I just can't handle it anymore.
Again, just the lack of diversity in play calling and the lack of preparedness. Burning a couple timeouts, I think, when they didn't have to. They should have been more prepared. You have the defense on their heels. Get up there and run the ball. Another question.
It's common sense.
Right. Another mystifying coaching decision from Tomlin, a guy who loves one of his patented Tomlinisms, B-Rye, is not playing in your fears. To me, there was two different times in his game where they could have went for it on 4th-down. The offense, I don't want to say they were humming, but for us, we were moving the ball and we had a chance to go for it twice, down 2 scores. The game, the clock's ticking away. This is the second half. We have a chance to maybe regain some momentum if we can get a 1st down and keep the drive going and try to get a touchdown. We're down 2 scores. We kick 2 field goals. Again, all credit to Chris Boswell. He's had a nice season so far. Take the point, sure. After those 2 field goals, B-Rye, guess where we were? Down 2 scores. To me, that's the definition of living, playing in your fears, whatever the hell the stupid Tomlinism is. You look across the league at coaches like Dan Campbell going for it on 4th down from their own 25, 35-yard line just to give their team a kick in the ass. I mean, B-Rye, what do you think of these coaching decisions? Was it the right idea to take the points, or are we living in our fears?
We're living in our fears. I think it's time for him to cut his eyelids off. another Tomlinism. It's just, I don't know. Nothing's really making sense right now. And if they show up flat like this against the Ravens, there need to be serious changes over the bye.
Okay, we're 2-2. You know, we're sitting here. Nothing went well this game. Just looking up and down the box score, the only thing that stands out is Najee Harris's 71 yards rushing. 5.1 per carry, yes. But if that's a standout statistic in this box score, and in, as far as the eye test is concerned, nobody passed except for maybe Najee. It's games like against a rookie coordinator, against a rookie coach, against a rookie quarterback. You're 2-1. You have the chance to go for the division lead. But by the time you go into your bye here, you got the world in your hands, man. This is the season. And it's games like this where you just come out completely flat and the effort just is not there. The plays aren't there. The game-changing moments are not there. The aggressiveness disappeared. To me, it seems like they're playing scared. Brian, I'm a Tomlin defender. You know, people have been calling for his job for years and years and years. This is nothing new. I think you could do so much worse as far as a head coach is concerned. I believe stability at the head coach position is underrated in the NFL. I think a lot of teams are too quick to pull the trigger on firing coaches when things aren't going well. I do think stability matters. But sitting here right now, B-Rye, looking at these coaching hires, not just Matt Canada, going back to Fichtner as well. Some of these coaching hires are very questionable. Some of these decisions, some of these bad challenges, poorly used timeouts. It's getting to the point, B-Rye, where I got to start asking questions like, yeah, you know this guy is going to have a job the minute he walks out that door. But does he deserve to be on the hot seat? And should we be looking at change just for the sake of change right now? Just to shuffle the deck a little bit. What do you think, B-Rye?
I've been a Tomlin defender for many years now, many years. My wife actually hates him. She diehard Steeler fan, but can't stand him. I've been defending against that for years, and I'm like starting to jump off the ship now. And join that sentiment. Do I think he's a good coach? Yes, I do. Do I think he's a great coach? No, I don't. I think he has his strengths and weaknesses. I think he can bring a team together so that they don't have a losing season. You know, we hear about that all the time, non-losing season. But he hasn't shown an ability to take a good team to that next level. He hasn't shown an ability for many years now to win a playoff game. And, you know, at some point things just run their course. You even had Andy Reid in Philadelphia. Things ran their course. They needed change. Yep. And it worked out for Philly. You know, I think they won a Super Bowl after that. And it obviously worked out for Andy Reid in Kansas City. So
yeah,
sometimes things just need to change. And, I don't know if I'm to that point yet, but there needs to be someone else involved with the hiring of assistant coaches. He has shown that he can't bring in good coaches. He took over good coaches with LeBeau and who was it? Wisenhunt?
Yeah. And
Wiz. Then he had Arians there and those guys are gone. He brings in coaches like Fichtner and these guys and
Haley.
And at this point I would take Haley, like it's gotten to the point where it's just so bad.
Well, Haley had so much talent to work with. It's hard to tell how much was his coordination and how much was the amount of talent we actually had on the field.
And Ben in his prime.
Right. Ben in his prime. I don't know if it's Tomlin, if it's the Rooney's afraid to go outside the organization and spend some money on a proven coordinator. My biggest fear is, you know, you get rid of Canada, whether it's in the middle of the season or at the end of the season, whatever, and they default to bringing in, you know, whoever from Homestead is available at the time. Byron Leftwich, I'm sure, would be a candidate, former Steeler, I think really liked in the organization, but Tom Brady carried him as well, and then he got ousted from Tampa. not long after that. I'm not sure that's a guy you look for. Do they go across the hallway to Pitt's coordinator, Frank Cignetti Jr., who just loves running the football, B-Rye? It seemed like that would be a natural hire for the Steelers because he's in the building. They know the guy. You know, that's my biggest fear, is he might not get much better than Matt Canada if the Rooneys aren't willing to think outside the box and spend a little bit of money on those coordinator positions. But I agree, it's a perfect way to put it. Everything runs its course. You're not going to see Mike Tomlin fired, and no matter how bad it gets in the middle of the season, you're not going to see him likely fired in the next year or two. I mean, he still has the, albeit mid, you know, hasn't had a 500 or less than 500 season, right? We've been hanging on by a thread to that record. It looks like it is going to get tested this year, but we also thought it was going to get tested last year until they went on a heater there at the end. So, you know, I don't want to jump out of the building, throw the baby out with the bathwater yet. The offense, though, something has to give there, or we are in for a long season. And now you have a hobbled quarterback with a banged up knee. You lost your tight end. You lost some linemen. Your depth is being tested. You know, it's not looking good. Things are not trending in the right direction. And this is a week after we were feeling pretty good at 2-1, B-Rai, but the same warts are still there. They're still showing up. And man, there's a question swirling around the media, just the way Tomlin's handling himself. You can kind of tell he's not comfortable either. He's kind of panicking a little bit. I'm not sure how much he's married to Matt Canada, how much, you know, frustration he might have putting up with this as well. But man, I would love to see some more leadership from him, and I would love to see this team come together a little bit more. It just doesn't seem like that chemistry is there across the board, and that ultimately falls on him. So, all right, B-Rai. So questions abound, no doubt, after this brutal Texans loss, 30-6, just boat raced right out of Houston by a gang of rookies, really. But all credit to Houston. I think they're better than people give them credit for, and C.J. Stroud looks legit. So, but you expect more. You expect more from the Pittsburgh Steelers, that's for sure. So we talked a little bit about this, B-Rye, on that 4th-and-1 led to Kenny's injury. Where are we at with the rest of the injuries this week, and what are we looking at heading back to Pittsburgh as we welcome in the rival Ravens?
Yes, so as we mentioned earlier, Kenny has the bone bruise, knocked him out of the game. Initially, we had the worst fears possible with, you know, this rough season getting even darker. But he said he actually practiced today. We're recording on a Wednesday. He practiced, said he's feeling good. He said he'll be ready to go Sunday. So I think there's a chance that maybe he's a little too optimistic, but from what I've heard, I'd expect him to be out there Sunday. DeMarvin Leal, he's in the concussion protocol, didn't practice today. So his participation is going to be determined later in the week. It's really hard to say which way that this will go with him playing. As we mentioned with Freiermuth, he has that hamstring injury. He's doubtful this week. He's probably looking at about 2 to 3 weeks before we see him back. So they did elevate tight end Rodney Williams from the practice squad to the 53-man roster. We do have Dan Moore also with the knee sprain, so he's already been rolled out for this week. We have Presley Harvin III of England. He's expected to... He actually didn't practice Wednesday. He missed last week, that hamstring. So we'll see where he's at later in the week. I think it's kind of up in the air there. And then for the last one, James Daniels, he missed last week with the groin. He didn't practice today, but from what I've heard, he's looking better, and I think they'll try to get him some practice time later in the week.
Yeah, it looks like some of these rookies are going to be forced into action more with some of these injuries. Anxious to see Broderick Jones with a full load there on the line, see what he can contribute, see if that maybe changes the dynamic there, the chemistry on the line. And maybe, you know, sometimes when things like this happen, B-Rai, some good things tend to follow. When guys step up, they get opportunities. Sometimes that's when things really start to happen and things start to come together. They're going to need it. Credit to Brad Wing as well for stepping in and punting the football 5 times for an average of 47.6 yards. One inside the 20, Brad Wing is one of the Steelers punters of all time. That's for sure. Hadn't kicked in the NFL since like 2018 or something like that. So, yep, credit to him. Boswell, of course, 2 for 2 as well. So Boz is having a nice little season, but we would like to see less of him, quite honestly. We want to see more touchdowns. All right, B-Rye. Damian Pierce, I just want to mention this. He kind of got going. He only had 3.4 per carry, but it seemed like he ripped off decent chunk runs at just the right time. We had a couple times when we stopped him dead in his tracks, but also a couple times where he was ripping off chunks when it mattered most at the wrong time for our rush defense. So we still need to shore that up as well. So that's the injury report. That's heading into Baltimore. Heinz Field, we welcome in the Ravens. Ravens are sitting in first place. We were lucky. Both the Browns and the Bengals lost, so we got a little cushion there. B-Rai, what do we got to watch out for here with the Ravens coming in? They have a few injuries as well, but Lamar's playing pretty good, and they look like they're going to get some guys back. But what do we got to look out for with the Ravens coming in?
Obviously, it starts with Lamar. He's a playmaker. I think he could really expose our defense if they don't start to play some gap discipline defense. You saw a lot of open lanes last week. If it happens again this week, he's gonna bust a couple for, you know, 30, 40, 50 yards at any given moment. So really you have to do that. You have to get a little creative with your blitzes to kind of like, you know, keep him off his feet. You have to spy on him at times. I think you have to mix it up too. I mean, he's a smart player. If you keep doing the same thing over and over, he's going to figure it out. So mix it up, play smart, gap discipline. That's huge. He has a couple weapons. Mark Andrews showed up finally. He kind of had a slow start to the season. And then last week he woke up, got 2 touchdowns. He's a huge mismatch, especially against a defense like ours. I think he could have a big game. And also their rookie, Zay Flowers, wouldn't be surprised if he had a big game.
Yes.
He, you know, just kind of one of those players who could find the soft pockets in our zone coverage and then get in the yards after catch. So don't be surprised if he does that there.
Yeah, that's a guy I'm looking out for sure. Now, traditionally, B-Rai, we've held up pretty well against Lamar. So I'm anxious to see how that parlays into this game. What this unit, if they're able to keep that up, keep him bottled up. For as dynamic a player as he is, I think we really have his number historically. In fact, B-Rai, I know he's probably been injured for a couple of these games. We've won 6 out of 8 against the Ravens dating back to 2019. It just doesn't seem like it that we beat the Ravens that much, but we won 6 out of 8. We split with them last year. We won on the road, lost at home. Interesting little factoid here, B-Rai. The last 3 games against the Ravens, the scores have been Pittsburgh 16, Baltimore 13. That was in December of this year. January of this year. December of 22, the Ravens won 16-14. And then in January of 22, the Steelers won 16-13. So in the last 3 games, B-Rai, the winning team has scored 16 points. So watch out for that. What do you think, B-Rai? I'm predicting a loss for us here at home, and the alarm bells are going to start going off in the control room, I think, and a lot of questions are going to get asked, some difficult questions that we probably won't have a Tomlinism ready for, and the seats are going to get just a little bit hotter. What do you think, B-Rai?
If we have a chance to win, I think it has to start with establishing the running game, get Najee going, get back to some physical football. Our quarterback's hurt. He needs some help right now. At that point, gain some respect for the play action through the run game. Take some deep shots downfield. Use your weapons. So if we can play mistake-free football, have low penalties, no turnovers, I could see us pulling this out, but the vibes aren't good. I know that we've historically had their number, but I can't, you know, sit here today and say we're going to win. I can't sound like a total yinzer here, you know. The reality is that they're playing good and Steelers are playing like shit, so I'm going to go with a loss here. Would, if they won, it wouldn't shock me, but I am going to project them losing 24-13 as we head into the bye at a 2-3 losing record.
I'm going to take the Ravens 19-15. This is going to be an AFC North slobber knocker, no doubt. Now, even though I'm picking the Ravens to win, part of me deep down inside to see some real change, perhaps, it almost feels like we need to get the brakes beat off of us. Be right. Yeah. I just don't know if that's possible with this rivalry. It's going to be close. It's going to probably be down to the wire. It's going to be sloppy. I think it might rain Saturday. I'm not sure about down there, but I think it's forecasted to maybe have some rain on Saturday. So we'll see. That could help slop things up. I agree. I want to see the run game get going. That's really going to be our best chance. We need to see some more play action. Man, it seems like we take a lot of snaps out of shotgun. Do we ever go under center play action? I mean, that's going back to the Ben days. You know, just too much shotgun, too predictable. We need to see some more creativity, no doubt, to have a chance. We need to bottle up Lamar like we usually do. That's going to be an interesting one. For sure, a matchup to watch. Can we get Highsmith and TJ back on track at the top of the sack race? We almost need them to win games at this point, B-Rai, and that's disappointing. You know, they're stealing games for us, keeping us in games with those splash plays, and when they don't show up like they did last Sunday, man, it's hard to give us a chance. It's hard. And the longer this goes on, the longer the offensive ineptitude goes on, the more tired those guys are going to get as the season goes on. They're playing more and more and more, just back out there, back out there, back out there.
Yeah.
And they're going to become less effective as the year goes on, especially with our bye week this early. It does not bode well for late in the season. And I got to look at our schedule coming up here, B-Rai, because one of the things we talked about at the beginning of the year was, man, if we can get out of this early part of the schedule here above 500, then some of our other matchups later in the year look pretty appetizing. But now we look ahead a little bit and we see Cardinals. I think we got the Colts, I believe, as well. They're not looking bad at all at this point. Both of those teams, I think, kind of looked at them at the beginning of the season and said, man, those should be guaranteed victories. Those teams are looking tough. The Titans are playing decent. The Rams, exactly. The Packers are no pushover. Yeah, the Cardinals, the Colts are both playing above expectations at this point. The Seahawks are going to give us trouble probably. I mean, yeah, the schedule all of a sudden does not look as soft as it did at the beginning of the season. So, man, we got to make some hay, and we better start soon. All time, B-Rai, the Steelers lead the series against the Ravens, 33 wins, 25 losses. Like I said, they've won 6 out of their last 8 matchups going back to 2019. And watch out for it. The winning team's probably going to score around 16 points in this one. That's the way it's gone recently. So it sounds like we're both picking Baltimore in this one. Hopefully that's a little bit of an RJ from us. I don't know, B-Rai, with the injured knee, we were losing Freiermuth. Hopefully we'll see more Darnell in the passing game as well. Rodney, what'd you say? Rodney Williams?
I think so. Let me check my notes.
I know who we won't be seeing is Zach Gentry because he plays for the Bengals, amongst other things. And we saw Denzel Mims, the practice squad, so... Never know. Maybe we'll see him at some point. Yeah, a little second round pick there. The same year I think we took Chase Claypool. Maybe we'll see Chase Claypool back in the black and gold. How about it?
Yeah, let's trade back.
Wow, what a mess that is. That's one thing we really hit a home run on there, was getting rid of him at the right time. So, hey, B-Rai, we're 2-2. Let's not hit the panic button quite yet. We'll see, though, after this Ravens game. It may be time, but it's going to be a knockdown, drag-out battle against our rival Ravens for sure. Any final thoughts for us here on this fine, what is it, Wednesday night we're recording here?
Yeah, it really comes down to these division games. I mean, if the Steelers have any shot at making the playoffs, which is something like kind of feels ridiculous talking about at this moment with how they're playing. You got to go through the division. Bengals are not looking so hot. We just beat the Browns. The Ravens, they're not clicking on all cylinders like I think a lot of people expected on offense. They're a tough team. You got to show up for them. But, you know, I think the schedules looked a little bit tougher with some of those non-divisional games. So the key to potential playoff showing would be through our division. So it starts this, you know, we already got the one win against the Browns, but we need to keep it going. We need to beat the Ravens this week. And then we maybe have something to talk about.
Yeah, we beat the Ravens. We're right back on top of the AFC North, right? With a 2-0 record in our division. Because the Ravens have one loss too as well. So all of a sudden that would right a lot of wrongs and we'd feel a lot better heading into the bye, get a little healthy, no doubt. But it's going to be interesting to see some of these rookies step up in the place of your Dan Moores, your Pat Freiermuth. Hopefully we see more Joey Porter Jr. on the field. Let's see. We are excited about the draft class coming into the season. It's time for rubber to meet road, I think. And you know what? If they mess up, they make mistakes, so be it. That's how you learn, right? So, B-Rai, we will reconvene after the Ravens game here and see where we're at. I'll let you go because I know you're pulling double duty tonight. You're going to be a guest on the Fantasy Funkhouse, given your fantasy smashes and complaints and stock reports and everything they do over there at the Funkhouse. So I'll let you go, B-Rai, and make sure you tune in to the Fantasy Funkhouse right after you listen to this episode. And if you listen to the Funkhouse, well, hopefully you stick around for some Steelers talk on the stairway here. So that's it for this week. That's the Week 5 preview. We'll see you after the Ravens. And hopefully we're in a lot better spot. So for my co-host, Bad News B-Rise, is Mr. Just Right. Here we go, Steelers.